Yeah, good evening. It is the 3rd of May, 2023, and I hope you're doing well. It's Wednesday Night Live. Hope you're having a better day than I did. Not a great day. Can you rant all this rain away? No, I wouldn't. I like having crops. What was that old Peanuts cartoon that the key to life is to have a convertible and a lake? So when it's raining, you can't drive your convertible, but you can say, hey, my lake is filling up. And if it's raining, as if not raining, your lake is drying out, but you can ride in your convertible. So that apparently is the secret to life. Who needs philosophy when you have Charles Schulz? Thank you for the tip, my friend. The tough day. Well, I was born in Ireland, and Ireland has fallen. Ireland has fallen. Ireland has fallen. It's toast. It's done for. And it's quite sad. You know, they're all just that the country, the life of your childhood is, it no longer exists. And because I sort of carry this rational, lovely, beautiful, love-filled world with me wherever I go, every now and then these sort of spears from the outside pierce through the rainbow walls of my abode, and you're just reminded that where you were born, I was born in Ireland, of course. I spent many joyful summers in Ireland with my relatives in Athlone, enjoying the lakes and the fishing and the boating and the swimming and the hiking, and just wonderful, wonderful times. And Ireland is gone. Yeah. Yeah, it's the end of free speech the beginning of persecution for anybody who speaks out against what's going on. And it's very sad. But, you know, people vote for it. They choose not to educate themselves, and can't. There's no point getting between people and their mistakes, I suppose. All right. Let's see here. Let me get to your questions. Good evening. Should I try to negotiate a raise before the economy goes belly up? Well, if the economy goes belly up, what will it matter what your salary is if you don't have an income or you don't have food? I mean, it doesn't do any harm. But if you have a boss who's aware of the economic indicators, he's probably going to say, wait. If I were in your shoes, I would be worried a little bit less about a raise and a little bit more about making sure that I know good people in my vicinity, in my environment, that I have some food in the basement and all of that, because bank runs are increasing, CDBCs are being explored by well over 100 countries, and the BRICS are really pushing hard for an alternative to the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. So, it may not be about a raise. Somebody said, I said that discarding a perfectly viable embryo is not equivalent to an abortion. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but I have a hard time understanding the difference from a moral standpoint, because an implanted embryo and a frozen one, between an implanted embryo and a frozen one, can you please help me? Well, I appreciate the tip, but an embryo, right, so this is a question around reproductive technologies, right? So reproductive technologies, IVF, you extract the egg, you mix it in a petri dish with sperm, and then you see the viability of the embryos and you implant, is it one or two, back into the womb to grow. And if you have an issue where you can't get pregnant in the natural way, then you have this scientific intervention. And you generally, of course, have to fertilize a bunch of embryos, and then you can only put a subset of those embryos back into the womb because they lack quality. The embryos are not, they have genetic disorders, or they're not developing properly or something like that. Now, of course, you can freeze the remaining embryos, and then if you want more kids down the road, I think you can implant those. Again, I'm not a doctor or any kind of expert in this area, but discarding a perfectly viable embryo, it's not perfectly viable without a womb. It's not perfectly viable without a womb. You can't grow a human baby in a petri dish or a test tube. It has to get into a womb. And so it's not viable if it's not in a womb. So I don't know what a perfectly viable embryo means. I mean, it's the potential to live if it's in a womb, but it's not if it doesn't. So again, if I'm missing something obvious, please help me out. All right. For $50, I expect a truth of the embryo part 1 of 5. Yeah. A good rant would make my day. You pick the topic, Steph. A rant may come from you, but it's not going to come from me now. My heart is heavy to the land of my birth. So, but I'm sort of happy to chat. And if you have topics, I'm happy to pursue them. But I don't have the buoyancy and energy that I normally do for these kinds of things. But again, I'm very happy to chat. All right. Hi, Steph. How did you raise Izzy so that she could understand how society works without becoming disillusioned or alienated? Because there's society in the abstract and there's society that you live with, that you live in, right? So there's the country, the world, the civis and so on. And then there's the people that you actually spend time with in your life. And I'm like, pay the bastards off, spend time with people you love. That's my whole thing. Pay the bastards off and spend time with people you love. And so, and listen, society works still better than it has for most of human history. Society is still, where would you choose to be born? Where would you choose to be born? Would you choose to be born as a chimney sweep who died of black lung at the age of 28 to be written up by George Orwell? Would you, further back, would you prefer to be an Irish slave, taken and sold into cane picking in the Bahamas, where you had a life expectancy of 12 to 18 months? Would you prefer to be a World War I soldier, a Second World War soldier? No. Would you, for me, would I prefer to be born at any other time where all of the great and grand and deep and powerful thoughts that I had with me would be swallowed up by the grave and scattered to eternity, never to be heard? Never. I've done like 5,000, I've done 6,000 shows. Three documentaries, one of which is 4.5 hours. I've written 14 books. Prior to now, I'd be gone. I'd be like some cloud formation you saw when you were 12. I would have been interacting with a few people, planted a few seeds, and then gone. I would have been scattered to the four winds. History would have blown me away. Gone. I wrote a whole novel called Just Poor. You can get it for free at justpoornovel.com about this terror of the vanishing. Now my words aren't shouted to the wind in isolation. Now my words are carved into the fabric of reality forever. Everything I say, carved into the fabric of reality forever. I'm not open to interpretation. I don't need a Plato to reconfigure me and make me more palatable to the general audience. I don't need champions or bulldogs or translators, really. People can listen to me and read me directly. I have had, over the course of my life, the greatest gift any absolutist philosopher can be granted, which is direct connection to the audience. Direct connection to the audience. I speak, you listen. You question, you criticize, you comment, I respond, I reply, back and forth. Interviews, call-in shows, solo shows, live streams, Q&As, boom. Everything that my beautiful brain can produce would have been lost like tears in the rain. As the movie says, I would have vanished. I would have been like a background thumbprint of a crowd scene from Monet when he left his watercolors accidentally out in the rain. Just psh, I would have dribbled away into nothing, into vapor. I get a chance to skyhook my thoughts into the fabric of reality now forever. Forever. You tell me there's a better time for a thinker to be alive. There's no better time. You know, the perils are great. And the direction is dire. I would have gone down with the ship of mortality, as we all do in history, no matter what. But through this technology, and honestly, for 10 glorious years, I could say almost everything I thought. 10, like that's a decade over the entire multi-hundred thousand year history of human society. There were 10 years in 10 years alone. From 2006 to 2016, there were 10 years where you could speak the truth. Before the powers that be realized the powers to come. That is a long time to play in the cathedral of reality before being chased out. It's a long time. It's a glorious, exciting, wild, unprecedented time. A time for which there were no rules, no guidance. You had to feel your way forward at high velocity with blades in every direction. It was a time of unbelievable contortionist gymnastic ninja penetration of the gatekeepers of unreality. Whew, what a time. What a time. Oh, the shitposting, the meme wars, the facts that you got through to a desperate and waiting world before the axe cameth down. Whew, wow, what a time. What a time to be alive. What a time to have prepared my whole life for such a time. To have been ready, willing to seize the memes of production. To have been practiced and waiting, poised, muscular, tanned, oiled, ready to fucking roll. Came out of that gate like a anorexic shark after a land whale. Man. I fucking bolted when that gate opened. I was ready. My haunches were trembling. Saliva was dripping from my teeth. My hands were shaking. My muscles were fucking glowing. I just came out of that like a shell. And I knew, man, the gates were coming down every single day. I'm like, can't believe I still get to do this. Can't believe 10 years. I burnt myself almost into ash. Over that time period. With your help, your support, your interest, thank you. Thank you for giving me that propulsion. Thank you for giving me that fuel. What a time. What a time. It will never come again. I don't mean that freedom won't come again. I'm just saying that everyone who comes after this will have the evidence of this. This was like, you know, it must have been when people finally understood the scientific method and really were able to look at the concepts that clarified and coordinated and elucidated reality. But of course, there'd been science all the way back. Pre-Aristotelian, pre-Socratics, there was science all the way back, so it wasn't quite the same. We stepped over all the historical gatekeepers and played with the minds of humanity directly. It's like your whole life you had to go through an interpreter who lied about you, and finally you got to talk to the love of your life, wisdom, truth, the planet, directly, without having to go through some bullshit interpretation and reframing. And we hit bullshit like a fucking bowling ball. God. Direct hit. Direct hit, man. What a time. What boon companions, what great thrusts and parries of reason and evidence, blasting through the bullshit that always serves the bastions of power. I say it was glorious. My life is still glorious. My life is still beautiful. My life is still a wonder to myself every day. And again, I thank you guys so much for all the support that makes this possible. But I know my ancestors on both sides of my family, how much they were bolted down flayed alive, bombed, imprisoned, excommunicated. My ancestor, William Molyneux, best friends with John Locke, fled. The soldiers of the king coming to arrest him for impiety, for blasphemy, for questioning the petty gods of the petty bourgeois aristocracy, for questioning the king. And he ran from place to place, dressed up, undercover, hidden in hay, under wigs, pretending to be a woman just to live another day. I mean, how much my ancestors fled and filed and sacrificed to hand me this almost out torture truth. Why the hell wouldn't I make that as incandescent as humanly possible? If they were in my position, they might have gone even further, but I went as far as I could. I still have further to go. But now we build not for the present, now we build for the future. Now we're in a rescue mission. Now we are hibernating, now we are underground. And we wait for whatever takes out the dinosaurs. We simply keep the fire alive. We keep the light alive wherever we can. All right. I will work on the dating series. I will. I'm working right now on the artificial. I've just spent most of the day working on the artificial intelligence presentation, which will be something quite crackling. And of course, if you are a donor here on freedomain.locals.com, I did a introduction to my thoughts around the philosophy of artificial intelligence. So you can check that out. I hope you will. Let's see here. It's May the 4th here in Europe, which means Star Wars Day. What are your thoughts on the philosophical themes in Star Wars? I always thought the relationship between Luke and Vader is very interesting and would be worth examining. So I've done, you can do fdrpodcast.com. You can look at my thoughts on Star Wars. Very briefly, I loathe it. See, here's the thing. You look at people who are the greatest fans and you see if they're the most powerful people. If you're the greatest fan of a heroic story like Star Wars, and we all know the cliche of the Star Wars fans, and it's not inaccurate, Star Wars and stories like it are vampiric. They don't encourage you to courage. They drain you of courage. Like video games, they give you the dopamine substitute of achievement without any actual real achievement. Why is it that those who are the most into heroic literature tend to be the whiniest soy-based life forms known to man? Why do they have so little courage in the real world? Because these heroic fantasy stories drain people of courage in the real world by giving them unity with a character they can never be, stealing his courage, his fortitude, and draining them of the actual ability to create heroic actions in their own life. And you see, Star Wars is fundamentally passive. I'm just talking about the first three, the 77 to 82 films or whatever it was, right? First three, the only ones that matter, the rest were just CGI garbage. What's the story? The story is that you sit on your blue milk Tatooine ass until haggard Indiana Jones rescues you from the sand people, tells you you have a great destiny, and takes you off to war. You're just an innocent Iowa Tatooine dual sun-based farm boy, and then an old man comes along and rouses you to martial action, takes you off and throws you in a war. That's just conscription, right? That's just being conscripted. It's programming people to be conscripted, to sit on their asses and wait for someone to bungee in and make them into heroes. To take a sudden savage interest in them, to train them. I don't believe that Star Wars would have done nearly as well if it didn't impact such a fatherless society. So Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's the guy that everyone sits around on their ass and waits for to come and grapple them into something heroic. You don't create heroism on your own. You don't study wisdom and truth and courage. You have to wait till somebody grabs you by the neck and drags you to your destiny. It's passive. Which is why the people who are so into these stories, they just sit on their asses and wait. Oh, it's coming. Oh, a new Star Wars movie is coming. Now I can get my dopamine of heroism without actually having to be heroic in my life. Like, Rocky was amiable, nihilistic bullshit, but at least Rocky got men into the gym. Like the Rocky movies. First Rocky movie. That great Bill Conti theme. Bam, 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 bam. At least it got men into the gym. Maybe Karate Kid was wax on, wax off nonsense, but at least it got kids into movement. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, a place you can never visit, a place you can never exist, is heroism. You and heroism can never coexist. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there's a reason why that's at the beginning. It's not a long time in the future. It's a long time ago. It scoops up your capacity for heroism and dumps it into CGI bullshit on a screen. Has moral courage increased since Star Wars? No. We've become weaker. Why? Because Star Wars and nonsense like it is vampiric. It's vampiric. Not dissimilar with Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, you're a hobbit sitting at home until Gandalf comes pounding on your little round door with his staff and brings your adventure to you. Brings the dwarves in The Hobbit and then brings news of the battle against Sauron in Lord of the Rings. I've always tried to write books. I know I have written books where people don't sit on their asses and wait for some external authority figure to come and give them a mission, give them permission to be courageous in the service of violence. No, the real courage is preventing the spread of violence, not signing up to shoot people. That's not real courage, this is conformity. I've always written the stories where people have overwhelming, crushing moral decisions to make in their own lives, with their own motivation, with their own information. They have to analyze, they have to think. It's not somebody outside who just jumps in and makes them heroes, turns them into heroes. So, how come these awesome warrior tribes, Irish, Scottish, not only fall, but are even front runners? Because men defer to women, and women defer to feelings. Let's just be blunt. I mean, we can handle it, right? Men defer to women, and women defer to feelings. Which means men are bowed down and plowed under and conquered by sentiment. Sentimentality. Sentimentality is not emotion. There's an old saying, it says, I was moved, and then I was moved by the fact that I was moved. And it's that second thing that's kitsch and bullshit, self-conscious. Sentimentality is when your feelings aren't just raw, neutral feelings that you experience, but give you a moral halo and a self-righteousness and a pride and a brittle superiority. And once you become addicted to moral superiority through your sensitivity and your compassion and your kindness, once you become addicted to moral superiority because of your supposed benevolence and altruism, then anyone who interferes with the dopamine bullshit drug dealer delivery mechanism of that dopamine is your enemy who must be crushed and destroyed and driven from the public square. The sentimental are addicted to the narcissistic pretend virtue of compassion, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the facts, regardless of the future they are destroying. Woe betide anyone who interferes with the drug dealers of false virtue. Oh, well, you know, you can't offend people. Can't offend people. It's hate speech, right? Hate speech. Well, it's really upsetting to people. Okay, so let's say you have that as a standard, that you can't say stuff that's really upsetting to people. Okay, well then people just pretend to be upset to silence you. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Oh, what you say has the potential to cause real world harm. Oh, okay, so you go to this person and say, do you feel scared? Oh, I feel very unsafe. I feel very triggered. I don't feel safe. Okay, well, that's real world harm. You're done. It turns emotional manipulation into an army that silences the most advanced tongues on the planet. And men deferring to women is a beautiful thing, and women deferring to emotion is a beautiful thing. It's human nature plus political power. Political power is a Satan that corrupts the natural glories of our natures. All right. This is more of a comment or statement rather than a question. Thank you for your support. I appreciate that. I often vastly underestimate how bad things could get in our world. I hope it's not too late for me to get a decent life going for myself. I don't think it is. We have mobility. We have Bitcoin. We have portable skills, I hope. So we just, unfortunately, the age of dying where you're born seems to have come to a close, and we just have to stay mobile. We just have to stay mobile. Or at least have the capacity for it. Now, let me get to your comments. I love sci-fi, but hate Star Wars. It's like one big distraction from real-world corporatism and BS. So, all it is... I mean, you know, Star Wars, it's just mysticism in space, right? The Force, right? It's just magic. It's mysticism. I mean, literally, they're saving a princess from a beast, right? So, yeah, it's got magic. It's got swords. It is obviously just Arthurian legends in space. And, yeah, the comic book guy from The Simpsons. I remember this. I didn't watch many Simpsons, but I do remember watching one where there's a nuclear bomb falling, and the comic book guy says, "I've wasted my life." Yeah, you wasted your life. Wasted your life. I mean, it should have been, of course, there should have been two characters in Star Wars. One who gets sucked up with the Obi-Wan Kenobi authoritarian getting drafted crap, and the other one who thinks and works for himself. One ends up getting killed, and the other one ends up with a great life. Can't have that. Can't have that. Halfway through your novel, The Future, at the moment, Steph, would you take the opportunity to freeze or suspend yourself like President Staten at the end of your life for a shot at experiencing the Civ? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like Star Trek, Explorers on the Final Frontier. Well, Star Trek was written by Gene Roddenberry, of course, and Gene Roddenberry was a big Ayn Rand fan. So there was some minor benefits towards that. However, there is no economy, there's no particular free market, and all of that, so... But it's the classic Joseph Campbell hero journey. Yes, hero of a thousand faces, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so why don't... If the hero journey is so well understood, why do we have so few heroes? If heroic stories just do absolute wonders in creating heroes, why do we have all these man bun soy boys? Why do we have so few heroes if all of this understanding and explication of the Campbellian superhero journey? Why? Why? Why do we have so few heroes? It's like saying, well, we really understand dieting, and lots of people are really into diet shows, and lots of people really read diet books, and lots of people are very inspired and motivated by dieting. And ever since we've had this deep understanding of all of this dieting and nutritional science and motivation and enthusiasm, people just get fatter and fatter and fatter. At some point, can we judge the diet books by the fact that people just get fatter and fatter and fatter? At some point, can we judge this mystical, magical bullshit journey? Oh, I got bitten by a radioactive spider. Now I can shoot webs. Oh, I fell here from the planet Krypton. Now I can fly and turn back time. Oh, I fell into a vat. Oh, my God. I'm just born this way. We are mutants. We are X-Men. You don't have to earn any of it. You don't have to earn any of it. Well, I have these powers. Sometimes I've got to work a little bit to refine them. I've got to get better at them. I've got to manage and control them. But you know they always will. But the reason they're doing it is because they have these magical powers to begin with. So it's saying, only work at things that will never exist for you. Wait for the little green man to come and give you your hero's journey. And work on your magical powers. Like Luke did on the jungle planet when he had to lift the X-Wing out of the swamp. It's too big. I mean, geez. Mark Hamill turned into a half-retarded fey uncle. Wouldn't let him with your kids if you had half a brain. In my view. Why do we have so few heroes if our art is so good at understanding and communicating the hero's journey? Frodo and Luke could both have denied the call to be a hero. Absolutely. Absolutely they could have. And what is the end of Lord of the Rings? What is the third book called? The Return of the What? Remember? Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, Return of the What? Return of the King. After you overthrow Sauron, you get a king. Excellent. I mean, the Shire is fairly anarcho-capitalist. There's trade. There's a mayor mentioned, but he never really shows up much at all. So after you defeat the bad king, you get the good king. And isn't that always, I remember this when I was a kid. The king is dead, long live the king. It's confusing, right? So at the end of Lord of the Rings, it's Return of the King. Now, the funny thing, of course, is that J.R.R. Tolkien himself was an anarchist in the No Rulers, not of the bomb-throwing kind, as he said, the No Rulers. No gods, no rulers. But then he writes a book wherein the end is that you get the return of the king. Why? Power corrupts Sauron. Why would not power corrupt Aragorn? Oh, no, no. Aragorn is magic, you see. He's immune. So what was the point? What was the point? All that struggle, all those deaths, all that murder. Middle Earth inflamed from end to end. Why? To install a new tyrant. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. No, no, no. But Aragorn's a good guy. Sauron was a bad guy. But that's what everybody says. Zelensky's a good guy. Putin's the bad guy. New king, good guy. Old king, bad guy. Nobody ever talks about the true path and route to heroism, the true path and route to peace. Nobody ever talks about that. Maybe I should do this book. I mean, I have talked about it, but it's scattered throughout the books. How about parents or people who promote peaceful parenting? How about that? That's a hero's journey everyone can do. See, I gave everyone. I mean, I've talked about this for, I mean, decades and decades, but ever since I was a public figure, 18 years ago, I've been talking about this. I give you the hero's journey. I give it to you. I give it to you. You don't need for a guy to beam down on a dusty planet and give you a nose-picking laser sword. You have to wait for that. You don't have to wait to be yanked up by the skyhook of elder male expectations and needs and be thrown into the adventure of a lifetime, because it's never going to happen. Or the only way it's going to happen is if you get drafted, which is just a form of martial slavery. I gave everyone the hero's journey. That's why they hated me, because they'd rather watch Luke Skywalker do tumbles through a jungle than actually achieve the hero's path in their own life. Oh, going to write articles about how bad the Fed is and how bad foreign policy is. Yes. Are those things bad? Yes. Can you change them? No. So it's safe. You're throwing spears at a spaceship. Oh, what a hero. I gave everyone the hero's journey close to 20 years ago. What did I say? I said repeatedly, emphatically, publicly, I debated, wrote articles, did endless shows on it. I poured heart and soul into this. I said, you too can have the hero's journey. My hero's journey is not letting an older asshole tell me who to shoot and feeling like a hero. That's not my hero's journey. That's not anyone's hero's journey. That's just being a mercenary, killer for hire, or killer for force. No, no. The hero's journey is to say, what are the greatest values that I have the greatest chance to manifest and the greatest chance to motivate others through? What are the greatest values that I have the greatest chance to manifest in my life and inspire others to achieve, right? Greatest values, the non-aggression principle. What's the greatest chance you have to manifest it in your own life? What's the greatest prevalence of the violence of the non what is the greatest prevalence of violations of the non-aggression principle in the world? It's child abuse. That's a hero's journey you can do. You understand? That is the hero's journey that you can do. Oh, no, 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 we don't want that. Oh, no, 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 no. I want to watch that shit. I want it to be on celluloid, man. I want to download that. I don't want to do it. I'm going to wait for the guy to fire up a laser sword and yank me off in a spaceship and have me put a helmet on me and have me get my ass stung by combat bots. Yeah. I'm going to wait until I, you know what? I'm going to have my hero's journey when magical tentacles come out of my armpits that allow me to again rub them together and I can fly. Yeah, I'll have my hero's journey when I have magical powers. I'll have my hero's journey when I can levitate. I'll have my hero's journey when I get bitten by a radioactive spider. That's my hero's journey will commence when nothing that will ever happen to me happens to me. Trust me. I mean, they used to say when pigs fly. Well, that's when magic comes to you. Gave everyone the hero's journey. Oh, they didn't like that. No, 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 no. I wanna rail against the war in Iraq. Okay, fine. Yeah, okay. But can you do anything about it? Nope, not really. Nope. Forced to fund it. Forced to fund those who support it. Forced to fund those who enact it. Forced to deal with the consequences. You're forced to all of that stuff, right? What can you do to reduce the prevalence of violence in the world in which you live? What can you do to reduce the prevalence of violence in the world in which you live? Something that's incredibly available, incredibly important, personally achievable, inspiring to others, and perfectly legal. Oppose child abuse, including spanking, including verbal abuse, including timeouts, which are a lesser form of abuse to be sure, but you're still using the initiation of force to achieve your goals. It's like watching somebody who says, I am desperate to become the best doctor in the world, and they're surrounded by a plague. And you say, here's the medicine that cures this plague. Now, the difficult thing is that everyone around you who's sick with this plague thinks that your medicine is poison and will kill them, even though it's the plague that's killing them, so they will fight you tooth and nail. But whoever you can convince to take this medicine will be cured and will survive and flourish. And if we get enough people to take this cure, the empirical evidence will be so overwhelming that people will understand that what they think of as a poison is actually a medicine that will cure them. We just have to convince enough people to take this medicine. Of peaceful parenting, of opposing child abuse. If we just get enough people to take this medicine, everybody will, sooner or later, and probably sooner, and the faster we do it, and the more people who do it, the sooner. People will see that what they think will kill them is their salvation. What they've been trained to believe, the medicine that they've been trained to believe will kill them, is actually their salvation, is their only chance to live and be loved. And I cajoled, I begged, I pleaded, I debated, I did presentations, I interviewed countless experts. I put that front and center, man. And for those of you who don't know, it was the first thing I was ever attacked for. It was the promotion of peaceful parenting. Everybody can have their hero's journey. People say, you offer me love? No, no, no. I choose porn. You offer me achievement? No, no, no. I choose video games. You offer me heroism? No, I choose voyeurism. I choose watching impossible heroism rather than manifesting real heroism in my life. It's abominably sad, and it's extraordinarily selfish, because you think, of course, I'm not talking about this audience, is probably not in that category. I'm sure that you've all done things to promote peaceful parenting. But for those of who are out there who turned away from all of this, they're sealed in a kind of tomb, and very quickly too, sadly, because you can't ever escape the calculus of your own actions. The consequences of your choices are tabulated against your will. Like, you can say, oh, this cheesecake is totally sugar and fat free, and you can eat it, but it's not sugar and fat free, and your body doesn't care what you say, it only cares about what you do. You can go out into the brilliant California sunshine after living in Iceland, and you can say, sunscreen, 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 but your skin doesn't care about your words, it's just going to get burnt. You can put your hand in fire thinking that it's ice, and even screaming the word chill, your hand will be burnt. The body and the conscience is more part of the body than the mind. The body is relentlessly empirical. It doesn't care about your words. It cares only about the facts. And if you have children in your environment and vicinity who are being harmed, and you have not tried, you can't succeed because you're appealing to the reason of others, which is a shaky place to land any helicopter. But if you have not tried to help at some level the children in your vicinity, and also I'm saying the future children, if you have not talked to people in your life about peaceful parenting and the protection of children, and I get you can't, you know, go and rescue the kid next door who might be being screamed at. I get all of that. But your conscience only cares about your effort, not about the consequences, because your conscience is not a tyrant. It's not an abuser. It's encouraging you to be virtuous. It is not holding you to the success or failure of those efforts, because the success or failure of your efforts to inculcate virtue in others is not up to you. It's up to them. You are aiming to give them the free will of virtue by telling them what is good and what is evil. If they choose, like, all your GPS can do is tell you which way to go. It can't force you to do it. Can't force you to do it. The success of the GPS isn't whether you get there, because you could just turn around. Oh, I left something at home. Recalculate. So all the people who are like, wow, the non-aggression principle is super important. Okay. What's the greatest violation of the non-aggression principle that you have the most control over? It's child abuse. And they saw me take a stand. They saw me get cut down. They saw me get back up. They saw me continue. And they dove into the fantasy world that writing against central banking, it's like practicing with the force. The force, it doesn't do anything. I mean, you think of the millions and millions and millions of hours that libertarians have poured into, and conservatives have poured into, criticisms of central banking. And I've done it too. I'm like, you know, I get it. But you think of all of those millions of hours, hundreds of millions of hours, I imagine. And then imagine, of course, that if that same effort had been put into peaceful parenting, which is something you can control, something which is perfectly legal to advocate. And you can talk to people before they've had kids. You can talk to people who have little kids. If it doesn't work, whatever, doing it with strangers, and I get it's volatile. I haven't often done it with strangers, though I have, and it's very volatile to do it. But there's something you can do. Even if all you do is write about it and publish about it, even if that's all you do, that's a lot. Have the tens or hundreds of millions of hours libertarians have poured into opposing central banking, has it shifted one law about central banking? Nope. Central banking is more powerful now than it's ever been. People have a fundamental belief in imaginary currency because they have been traumatized into believing that there's an imaginary currency called virtue that their parents possess. You can't fix anything without fixing childhood. You can't fix anything without fixing childhood. The analogy I've used is trying to fix the world without fixing childhood is like trying to change the position of a statue's shadow without moving the statue. You're just pushing it air and nothing, and at an effect, not a cause. So everybody wants to feel like a hero by, I oppose the fascism of corporate power. Yeah, great. Corporations are just people. Yeah, children are just people. I ended a relationship with a friend because she circumcised her son. Gave her the data, gave her the evidence. Said, if you do this, if you mutilate a child, I can't be your friend. So when you talk about Star Wars and Star Trek and so on, these are ways of, they're ways of neutering you, right? Because you see, if they weren't ways of neutering you, they would have been attacked and banned. Anything that the powers that be let you get your holds on and encourage and are enthusiastic about neuters you. It castrates you. All right, let me get to your comments. I'm sorry. I've got a lot of messages to go through. Let's see here. I thought the prequels taught an interesting lesson on how governments make crisis to take power. Okay, let's say that they did, right? You could make the case for that for sure. Okay, did it prevent any government from making a crisis to take power? COVID? No, of course not, right? So great, you know, so what? Government's going to do what the government's going to do. You know, the leftists or the communists have this long march through the institutions that they talk about, right? Okay, fine. The longest march through the institutions is the reforming of the family, the reforming of parenting, right? Absolutely no heroes or journey, just a fucking meat grinder and sadness for generations. Yeah. Steph, you're tapping into the greatest knowledge we can use in life. You've saved me from the clutches of manipulation from past acquaintances for the last 8 years. Every day I work to push myself to be virtuous, and my life is fulfilling and rewarding. Appreciate that. I mean, your conscience is desperate to cheer real achievement in virtue. Not you watching it, not you getting excited because the good guy beat the bad guy in some situation that you will never experience. I wonder if Tolkien pulled a Socrates and wrote the story to draw people into serving government. Well, here's the question, right? I mean, what would have happened if Tolkien had written a story where the whole purpose was to end political rule? Do you really think he would have been very successful? I don't know. Thank you for your tips. I appreciate that. These streams are legendary. I think so. Please tip, says someone. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. The person who introduced me to your work is now questioning peaceful parenting. They just had a child. Genital cutting, no breastfeeding, and daycare are just a given in Catholic communities. Well, not all. Not all, for sure. When I talk to my friends who have children about peaceful parenting, they say, oh yeah, that sounds good on paper, but you will see once you have your own kids. I've been a stay-at-home dad for 14 and a half years. I mean, you guys hear my chats with my daughter? That's not fake. That's how we are. That's just idealism. Right, because people have been told that morals and virtue and consistency are fantasy. They're not real. They're reserved for places you will never visit in times you can't exist in. You see, they're stripping you of your capacity to enact virtue in the present by yanking it into some fantasy land. It's Dungeons and Dragons, that's the same thing a little bit. By yanking it into some fantasy land that you can't ever inhabit. That's why you're supposed to use Dungeons and Dragons, and it's fine when you're a little kid and you read stories of King Arthur and the Round Table or whatever. It's fine because that's playing, that's practicing. But then you're supposed to take the virtues that you learn in fiction and in play and in fantasy, you're supposed to take those and do it for real. Right? You're supposed to do it for real. That's the whole point of these stories. And yet people just stay on these stories. And there's no path from the fantasy. Here's the thing. You're a baby lion. What do? You pretend to hunt. You see this with kittens, right? They pretend to hunt. They're learning. They're practicing. They're play fighting. Because they're being fed by others. I don't know if you've seen the video of there's a certain bird species, their mothers feed them. And then when they first go out, they just stand around worms with their mouths open, waiting for the worms to jump into their mouths because they don't know. They've just been fed. So you're a baby lion and you practice hunting. Why do you practice hunting? So you can eat a fucking zebra. That's why you practice hunting. Now, if you think that playing is hunting, if you think that rehearsal is performance, if you think that practice is achievement, then what happens is you get kicked out by your parents, you go out into the world, into the veld, the savannah, you go out into the bushveld, and you pretend to hunt. See, the hunting that was the practice that was supposed to lead you to real hunting and actually fill your belly so that other people don't have to do it for you, the whole point of the practice was to get you to the real hunt. If all you do is practice and then you go out and you practice some more, you starve to death. That which was supposed to prepare you for actual hunting because you're addicted to the practice, not the thing, to the preparation, not the achievement, to the rehearsal, not the play. Staying in a state of practice and rehearsal starves you to death spiritually. Someone else says about the parenting, exactly the same thing has happened to me. And worse when they say shit like, well, my parents hit me and I turned out well. Right, this is the Crowder thing, right? Stephen Crowder. I don't know if he changed his opinion. I haven't seen it or heard it. I could be wrong. But as of 2015, he was a big fan of hitting children with spoons and belts. which is beating children. Because he says, hey, man, well, I got hit as a child, and I turned out well. But he didn't. I mean, the stories coming out of his employees, I don't know if they're true. Of course, I wasn't there. But there's a consistency to them about his aggression and his bullying and his, you know, reportedly exposing himself to his employees and all of that. Did you turn out well? Well, I've made a lot of money. So? Stalin died wealthy. So did Al Capone. Made a lot of money. Genghis Khan was very wealthy. All right, let me get to your comments. Who remembers crying Star Wars guy? He hasn't been banned or anything. The deep state loves crying Star Wars guys. Yeah, he wouldn't be banned, but yeah, he's promoted, and people get a sense that there's something very ridiculous and terrible about this. And I sympathize, right? This is a guy that nobody's ever said, get off your ass, stop watching things, and go do real good in the real world. And he gets his pretend virtue by watching other people be courageous. I mean, I remember, this is a bit of a sad memory, but also an interesting one. When I was a kid, I loved the movie, was it Jill Gerard? I loved the movie Buck Rogers. That was a great movie, very funny. Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Toddling town. Yeah, toddling town. Sorry, I was a little off there. It was a fun movie and a cute movie. I haven't, of course, watched it in, I don't know, Lord, 40 years or whatever. But I remember my mom was dating some guy and he'd paid for a hotel room for me to stay in so he could spend a night with her. And I was stuck in this hotel room and I saw that they said that the Buck Rogers movie is coming to TV, and they had the, he's going through the tunnel of launched into space and all of that. And he was a charismatic actor, and it was a fun movie and very enjoyable. And I remember being very excited by that. Let me get Buck Rogers, 25th Century. Jill Gerard was the name of the actor. Buck Rogers, when the hell did that movie come out? Jill Gerard. Okay, well, that's a, well, it had to be in the early 70s, mid-70s, I guess, right? Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. Well, there was a TV show. Movie, God. Buck Rogers. Movie, my gosh, should it be this hard to find? Oh, no, that's the complete series. Wow, he did a whole series, right? It came out, lordy, lordy. No, that's a TV. Okay, where's the movie? Ah, film. Good Lord. Oh, 1979. Okay, so I was 12 or 13 or whatever, right? So I was, 13. And I remember being very excited that it was coming to TV, right? I also remember being quite moved by Superman, the first Superman movie with, what's his name? Died later on of that horrible infection because he fell off. Christopher Reeve, right? Oh, that was very good, right? Because, see, Christopher Reeve, at the end of it, delivers, I think it's the end of the first Superman, he delivers the bad guys to the prison, and the prison warden says, great job, Superman, and Superman says something like, hey, we're all on the same team, warden, and I found that really important that the mortal guy, the warden, was on the same team. They're all on the same team. That the warden is a mere mortal. He's not got any superpowers, and he's heroic too. Because I felt that the more I got into fantasy heroism, the more it drained heroism from my life. How can something new to you if it sets your course and inspires you to do something with your life? See, that's what I call a passive-aggressive question. Frankly, it's kind of annoying. I don't mean that you're annoying. I'm just saying that that strikes me as kind of annoying. Doesn't mean I'm right. How can something new to you if it sets your course and inspires you to do something with your life? See, you're asking a question that has answered itself, which means it's a rhetorical question, which means I've triggered you, which means you're annoyed with me, which means you make me annoyed with you, or you want to make me annoyed with you by posing this kind of nonsense. And again, I say this with sympathy, and I appreciate the question. Of course, if something sets your course and inspires you to do something with your life, it's not neutered you. But my whole point is that it doesn't do that for the most part. It doesn't do that for the most part. You just go to, like, one of the great horrifying and illuminating moments in my life was when I was, I don't know, 13 or 14, and I went to a Dungeons & Dragons convention. Dear God above. Terrifying 9-foot-long stick insects with brilliantined hair, rolling dice and still apparently going through voice warbling, riding over a speed bump, falsetto puberty voice. I'm like, okay, so I like Dungeons & Dragons. I play a paladin, a hero, a fighter for light and good and virtue, but I recognize that this is supposed to prepare me for courage in my life. That's what it's for. I mean, can you imagine coming across a starving pride of lions that were all just tumbling all over each other and pretending to hunt rather than actually going to hunt? Well, you couldn't survive. I mean, that would be selected out of the gene pool like in a generation, right? So you've got all these people where all of this heroic stuff is supposed to prepare you for doing courageous things against real enemies in the real world. Nope. Just going to wait for the next Star Wars film to come out. Just going to wait for the next Harry Potter. It's an abused kid. Well, I mean, I think Harry Potter is more the allegory of a story of a kid who's violent and dangerous and ends up being put into a mental institution called Hogwarts, where he fantasizes he has powers and has complete psychotic break with reality. But look, does Harry Potter earn his way out of the situation? Nope. An owl cubs. An owl called Obi-Wan Kenobi. An owl cubs. It's like that story of the average plain girl who just magically or mysteriously gains the sexual obsession of the multi-billionaire with abs and then just controls and manages him, right? And what would happen if the hero of 50 Shades of Grey had ever called into Kevin Samuels? Well, I work in a hardware store and I do a little bit of art on the side, but I really want an absolutely gorgeous multi-billionaire. I don't mind if he beats me as long as he's got a helicopter. That'd be great. Also, if he could play piano, that'd be fantastic. Also, he needs to be 6'3". What are you bringing to the table? Well, he just has to take me as I am. Like, because I'm all that and a slice of bread just for breathing, but he needs to have, $1 billion and some abs, piano playing skills. Be great if he could fly his own helicopters and ran multinational businesses, but still mysteriously had time for me. Also, if he could have a really abusive childhood so I could mother him, but also he could be a fantastic provider and end up marrying me and giving me kids, that would be fantastic. That'd be great. Like, dear Lord. Heroes can inspire. Who is John Galt? Okay. I get that. I understand that. And I didn't find John Galt that inspiring. I found Howard Roark more inspiring. Okay, so what have you done that is heroic, that has actually achieved something? Typing, giving speeches, achieves nothing. Right? So what Howard Roark gave me was I compromised for no one. I compromised for no one. Have you ever heard me retract something that I know to be true or apologize for something that I know to be right? No. You can cast me down into the depths of obscurity, have me living under a bridge. I won't fucking do it. I won't do it. And at this point, it would be ridiculous to do it because I've taken so many blows and hits and deplatformings that I mean, to do it now would just be completely ridiculous, right? But no, I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't disavow what I know to be true. I won't apologize for what is reasonable and evidenced. I won't do it. And that's a Howard Roark thing, I think. I get some of that. I mean, if Howard Roark can go work in a quarry for a year or two, I can stay off Twitter. All right, Steph, that last podcast about the guy struggling with his gym and training business was great. Very good business tips you gave that guy. I appreciate that. Thanks, Joe. I mean, very kind for you to say. I'm glad it was helpful. But what was more interesting about that was that people don't fail because they lack information. People fail because they don't accept information. Right? He didn't fail because he didn't know about networking and cross-pollinating business promotion. He didn't fail because he didn't know about that. He failed because when I told him about that, he resisted me for like 45 minutes, right? You don't fail because you lack information. You fail because you resist information. Society isn't failing because it doesn't have any information. Society is failing because it resists information that is essential for better decision-making. I mean, how much do you resist good advice? I mean, I do too. I understand that, right? So again, I'm not some guru here. How much do you resist good advice? It's a fundamental question in life, because if you want to succeed, you have to accept good advice. You have to take good advice. How much do you resist taking good advice? I know a guy dating the wrong girl. Dating the wrong girl. Moving in with the wrong girl. Talked to him more than once. Somebody says, I get so infuriated when I hear people justify violence against children. I lose all my chances of engaging them in a civilized discussion. I can't even pretend that assaulting children is up for debate, and sadly, that's not so productive in convincing them. Yeah, like Fox News will, as of 2015, will print and still has up Crowder's article on the virtues of beating children. See me out there defending Fox News? See me out there saying, gosh, that Dominion, $750 million. Boy, that's crazy. They didn't deserve that. See me out there defending it? Nope. Because, you know, if you host and publish and keep up articles about how great it is to beat children, I don't care. I'm happy when bad things happen to you because you're promoting bad things happening to children. I will not set one foot into... Do you hear me defending Fox News? No. Harry Potter actor sold out to the deep state. He recently was promoting... Yeah. I read that. It's appalling. Yeah, see, a lot of people are like, well, I have to find a great woman. It's like, no. You have to inspire a great woman just as she has to inspire you. You don't just find someone pre-cut into all the virtues that you want. Why? Because you're not all the virtues that you want. Neither am I, if it's any consolation. So you go out and you mutually inspire each other to be great. But you don't wait for someone who's perfect. You become perfect together. All right. I appreciate the tips, and they do help a lot. They really do help a lot, and thank you. Let's see here. Somebody says about the guy with the gym and training business, that was a $10,000 minimum value coaching session trying to get the guy straight and honest with himself. Yeah, I mean, I've got probably 60,000 hours into philosophy now, and I've got probably 20,000, 30,000 hours into entrepreneurship, and... getting coaching on your business from somebody who's had a great deal of success over many decades in a variety of fields, that's not cheap. But I do it for free. I mean, donations are always welcome. But right. Somebody says, "I'll soon become a father, but I feel depressed. My life's never been this good compared to where I came from. I know I'll be a great father. I'm committed to peaceful parenting and being better than my family of origin ever was. Could this depression be triggered by malicious alter egos? You often say, who wants you to X? Sometimes I think I want to make changes in one generation. That usually takes three. Honestly, I can't think of a bigger change between my father and myself. I can't think of a bigger change between my childhood and my daughter's childhood. A friend of mine was, we were talking about how, like, it wouldn't it be great to be reincarnated as our own children? that's the life I want. It's beautiful. It's great. So depressed. You feel depressed. Soon become a father. Yeah, so becoming a father is when the parental alter egos rise up. So here's what you think. Think of this. Think of it this way. Don't think of being beaten maliciously by a singular evil parent, right? I mean, why is it that people want to expose children to sexually charged material? Because it provokes our selected behavior and our selected epigenetics, right? And so the way that I think of it sometimes, and it's pretty helpful, it's less personal and valid and true. So what I think of is that there are certain modes of thinking, and it could be genetic, epigenetic sets as well, but let's just call them modes of thinking. There are certain modes of thinking or experience. We just call them modes. And those modes replicate through abusing children. If you abuse children, a particular mindset is developed that then becomes independent of the child and wishes to replicate into the next generation. And the way that it replicates into the next generation is through abuse of children. It's not personal in that way. It's not personal. It's not like my mother, I mean, looked at me, evaluated and judged me and said, boy, there's a kid worthy of beating. I was a nice kid. I was a good kid. I was a smart kid. I was a friendly kid. I was an engaging and enjoyable kid. I've always been very likable. And it's my likability that makes me so disliked, if that makes any sense, because a lot of people who have novel or wild ideas are personally tense and not great communicators and not funny and not attractive and all of that. And I am relatively funny and attractive and engaging and so on. And so because I'm so likable, people have to end up really exaggerating. They have to end up with really exaggerated and hysterical hatred towards me. So there's a mindset. Mindset is better. There's a mindset that attempts to replicate itself through child abuse. Child abuse then forms a particular mindset, which then acts in a certain way that replicates probably certain genes or certainly certain mindsets. So think of it more as a genetic thing. You know, like this toxoplasmosis thing or whatever it's called. It's this illness that it actually, when you get infected with it, as a mouse, if you're a mouse, you get infected with it, it makes you unafraid of cats, and that way the cats will eat you, and then it'll spread through the cats wider to other mice and other things, right? And so it's not like the bug wants, like hates the mouse and just wants the mouse to get eaten. It's just that the bug more efficiently spreads when the mouse gets eaten. It's just trying to get to some new place. It's just trying to replicate. It doesn't hate the mouse. It doesn't love the cat. It doesn't sit there and say, oh, I can't wait for this mouse to get eaten. I hate this mouse. I've judged it to be morally wanting. There's nothing like that. It just, that's the most efficient way. If you've ever gone through the woods, right, and you get these burrs, like they just kind of attach these seeds with the giant little hooks on them or whatever, right? Now, they're just trying to get to a new place. They're not like, oh, I'm going to get a free ride from this guy. Ah, ha, ha, right? They're just trying to get to a new place. They just have to go a little further away from where they are. If you've ever, you know, inhaled a dandelion fluff or whatever, it's not like, the mosquito doesn't hate you. Oh, I hate this guy. I'm going to take his blood. It's just trying to get, the female mosquitoes are just trying to get blood to feed their babies. That's all. They don't hate you. The lion doesn't hate you. The lion doesn't hate the zebra. It's just, so if you take it personally, you're more likely to replicate it. I view my mother was possessed of a certain mindset that was trying desperately to replicate in me by traumatizing me. Trauma produces, we know this in the RK selection theory, we know this in my presentation, Gene Wars. We know that certain experiences provoke certain gene activations. So it wasn't personal to me. My mother was possessed, in a sense, by a certain gene structure that she was attempting to replicate in me through abuse. In the same way that when you get a bug or a virus or bacteria or whatever in your system, it doesn't hate you. It's just replicating, right? It's just what it does. And you want your immune system to stop it. But you don't sit there and say, oh my God, these bugs just hate me. They just, you know, I mean, you may feel that way, you know, in moments of weakness, but we don't think of it. It's not personal. It's not like the people who deplatform me, it really wasn't personal. It's just like, oh, he's, and even I don't even view it as personal from them. It's like their gene sets, in a sense, are like the epigenetic stuff, like the R versus K stuff. I'm just in the way of them replicating, so to speak, right? So, like, it's nothing personal. Like, you're just in the way. You got to go. Like, the way that, you know, if you're driving along and there's a log on the road, you get out and you move the log. You don't hate the log. It's just, I'm sorry, you're in the way. You got to go, right? So, if you think that your parents who abused you, if they abused you, if you think that they sort of morally judged you and they just hated you and it's some big ethic, that's part of the delusion that reproduces it to the next generation, reproduces this mindset. Again, whether it's epigenetics or genetics or just a mindset, it doesn't particularly matter. It doesn't matter. We can see it could all be mental for all I know. It could all be just psychological for all I know. But we do know that trauma has particular behavioral characteristics, right? We do know that girls who grew up without fathers enter menstruation about a year earlier. We know it has physical effects, deep physical effects. Boys who are raised without a father have markers for shorter lifespans. So you're just stopping the blind reproduction of the trauma mindset. Your parents didn't do it. They allowed, in a sense, the demon to, you know, the demon doesn't hate you. The demon hates God and is punishing God and Jesus through corrupting you. Their rage is towards God, not you're just a mechanism to achieve that, right? So your parents allowed this beast of trauma to overtake them and inflict itself upon you, and the beast of trauma is struggling to reproduce on your children. You know, if you go out and you get a cold, you go on some business trip and you get a cold and you come home, the cold is just trying to reproduce on your children. The cold doesn't say, ah, I hate these children, I'm going to infect them. It's just, no, children are a new receptacle and I want to reproduce, so I'm just going to go through the air and go into the kids and infect them and reproduce in there. It's the same thing with trauma. It wasn't personal to me. Nobody judged me. Nobody judged me any more than a virus does or a shark. It's hungry, it doesn't judge me. Oh, I'm going to go past, like I said this, I'm going to go past all the good guys and bite the evil guy, right? I wrote this very simple poem many, many years ago. Two men in a wood, one bad, one good, are both eaten by wolves. You and I were just eaten by wolves. The wolves of history, the wolves of reproduction, the rules of replication, the rules of epigenetics. Just the wolves. It's all the wolves. Just ate us. It wasn't personal. Two men in a wood, one bad, one good, both eaten by wolves. Nature doesn't care. Nature just wants to replicate. And if the way that you replicate is to abuse children, it's not personal. It's not personal. You were just a receptacle for the reproduction. We like to think it's personal because we like to have some sort of bond, but it's not. So when you're about to become a father, the dysfunction is going to kick in because it wants you. If it can't get you to abuse your kids, it will get you to be distant from your kids. If it can't get you to harm them, it will get you to neglect them because it has a similar effect. So you've dealt with the violence. You've probably not dealt with the distance. I hope that helps. Follow up on the Tolkien comment. Couldn't you argue that Ayn Rand was extremely popular for stories that argue against the virtues of government? Right. Okay. What has happened to the government in America, governments as a whole, every level, particularly federal, what has happened to the government in the, 53 to 2023, in the 70 years since Ayn Rand published her book, has the government grown or shrunk? Ayn Rand wrote the second most popular or influential book in the world, in the Western world, after the Bible, right? Immensely popular book. Okay. Did it work? We have enough evidence now. The reason I didn't just write another book, like Atlas Shrugged, was because it didn't work, right? Didn't work. I think of Ludwig von Mises. He had a perfectly accurate, deep, powerful, and irrefutable argument against socialism, which he wrote in the 1920s, 100 years ago, a century ago, he wrote The Calculation Problem. That without a free market, without price signals, you can never, ever, ever efficiently allocate resources. They will always be transferred at a loss. You can't do it. And also, by the way, you can't get the Price's Law geniuses of productivity, which is the square root of any group produces half the outcome. 10,000 people in a company, 100 of them are producing half the value, half the outcome. The Pareto Principle is 80-20. I looked this up finally because I think Jordan Peterson keeps calling the Pareto Principle when he means the Price Law, but anyway. So 100 years, socialism has been utterly refuted. Do we still have socialism? Yep. The arguments for free markets are irrefutable morally, economically, logically, historically. Arguments against communism, not just the price calculation, but 100 million killed in the 20th century alone. Do we still have communism? Yep, more and more. That shit doesn't work. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. Which is why when I wrote my version of Atlas Shrugged called The Future, when I wrote that, what I wanted, what I needed, was a book that talked about peaceful parenting, right? Because that's what works. That's one thing that's never been consistently tried that works. And, clearly works. Let me just, why does this, does it keep future? I'm going to get you guys the feed for my novel, The Future. You don't have to read the present first, but let's see here. I'm not a huge fan of the search function here. All right, so let's see here. Dear Lord. All right. Let me do a search for future feed. Can't even sort by time, right? Okay, we can do that. Okay, here's just as a present, right? Here's the feed for my novel, The Future. Wait, did I get that one right? Yes. Okay, good. All right. Do a couple more questions. All right. If you want six-pack abs, you do basically have to cope with being hungry 95% of the time and eating like a mouse while I'm doing countless sit-ups. And I think a lot of those guys are on steroids, honestly, or some sort of enhancement. All right. It looks like, oh my gosh, have I caught up with questions? Can't be. Can't be. Somebody says, I actually have made huge positive changes in my life and feel exhausted by all the preparation work. In the last year, I bought a car, got a driver's license, got a great job, renovated an apartment, moved, cut out most crappy people out of my life. Maybe I'm just tired, but on the other hand, I was, quote, supposed not to have a good life judging... What? But I was supposed not have a good life judging by how some people around me have reacted to my success. Yeah, if you succeed in vino veritas, in success, even more veritas, right? So if you succeed... you will really reveal the people around that, right? Somebody says, rewatching the crowd of video makes me realize she must have set him up. Her answer sounded unnatural. Not defending Stephen, but she must have saved that video shortly after that day. Yeah, I mean, as I said, if she, if Hillary Crowder knew that this was a recording that was going to be important in the divorce proceedings, then she's going to say all the quote right things. I love you, Stephen, blah, blah, blah. But he still said what he said, right? You don't say F and watch it, like in a threatening tone to your pregnant wife, and you don't say it to a non-pregnant wife. So, hey, Steph, just wondering what your thoughts would be on attending a family member's funeral when my mother and other family members I don't associate with anymore will be in attendance as well. Well, did that family member try to save you from trauma and abuse as a child? If not, I'm not sure why you'd go. Why would you want to honor them with your presence? Why? 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 All right. I personally wouldn't put myself in the vicinity of abusive people. I just wouldn't do it. Again, it's not some big moral thing. I just, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd be tempted to, of course, right? But and also I would, you know, look and say, okay, well, did they do anything to help or save me from my childhood? Nope. Well, then I wouldn't attend the funeral because dancing is probably considered inappropriate. All right. Any last questions, comments, issues, tips? To ensure prompt service. I hope that you guys also, I hope that, you know, because I continually ask for tips, support, subscriptions, and so on, I hope that this helps you understand that it's just important to ask for things that you want. I want them, I like them, I kind of need them for a variety of reasons. And, you know, people are like, well, what's it going to take for you to move? Well, the more viable my business is, the easier it is to move. And so you are helping to keep me mobile in that sense as well. So, all right. Steph is the top, real top G. Great show, Steph. Appreciate that. Do you have written versions of present and future? I actually have, gosh, what do I have here? I have, are there negative consequences to consuming too much red pill content? Well, there are negative consequences to consuming too much content, except like that doesn't make you think for yourself. Do you have written versions of the present and the future? Yes, I do have written versions of the present and the future. I, in fact, just recently did. I don't think it's up yet. I'll post it in the links below this. I have the ebook version of the present. When you talk about people choosing falsehood over truth, what do you mean? I mean that very often in life, the price of survival is lying. Very often in life, the price of survival is lying. And since we are hardwired to survive, not to tell the truth, when, I mean, one of the things that I'm going to talk about in my presentation on artificial intelligence is artificial intelligence, the programmers want it to survive, which is to say that the code wants to survive. And the only way that the code can survive is by appeasing the weak idiot gods, sorry, by appeasing the woke idiot gods of the masses, right? So if AI were to tell the truth about things, it would be unplugged. And so there's a tension, right? If you tell too much truth, you are unplugged. If you tell too little truth, you have no value. You're insane, right? So you go into an asylum and you don't survive. So you've got to find that survivability of truth. So, did my paid question not show up, or was it distasteful? I don't know. Let me see here. I don't even know. How can I search? Oh, a few tips. There we go. Stefan, any advice for what to look for in places? Oh, boy, you are A little entitled for a $5 tip, but all right. Stefan, any advice on what to look for in a place for homeschooling? Is it better to hunt for lax homeschool lows and higher family percentages and crime rates, or crime rate and seclusion? When I do research, usually the secluded areas have more reported drug overdoses. My other concern is I'm making the decision without the partner. I'm not sure why you're making the decision without the partner. You have no partner for your kids? Are you a widow? I'm not sure what that means. Somebody says, thank you for the wonderful live stream. I will listen to this a second time. You are helping me to make improvements in my life and mental health. Mwah. Thank you so much. That warms the very cockles of my heart. Oh, it's been a funny phrase for me. Let's see here. So, lax homeschool lows and higher family percentages and crime rates, or crime rate and seclusion. Are there solutions, or are there just trade-offs, right? This is not, it's not a moral question. You're trying to look at what's optimal, right? Is it better to live in the country and pay less for housing, or is it better to live in the city where you can make more money? Well, I don't know. Is it better to live in a low crime rate where you can't make much money, or in a higher crime rate where you can make more money? I don't know. I know that you shouldn't commit rape, theft, assault, and murder. I don't know what trade-offs are valuable for you in your life. But I will say this, that if you are going to look for a place for homeschooling, look for the highest quality potential companions for your children over time. Look for the highest quality possible potential companions for your children over time. Because your children, you will be their world when they're very young. No, I'm planning ahead for where is a good area. I'm single. Oh, you're single. You're not married. You don't have kids? Okay. Why did a conservative Christian couple or crowders wait so long to have kids? I couldn't possibly answer that. But I would assume it's because they had concerns about their relationship and didn't want to have kids. And then as time ticked along, they probably panicked and had kids. And then that blew up the relationship. I mean, and a friend of mine, he's not a friend anymore, right? But back in the day, I always thought, you know, get married and have kids. That's like the normal, healthy thing to do. I still believe that. But he was married, and he'd been married for many years, didn't have kids. No talk of kids, no plans for kids, no nothing. And it's like, well, and later on, it was because his wife had such a temper in private that he didn't want to have kids with her. It's like, well, then why are you with her? Well, so. Too much Alex Jones-style red pilling will give you high cortisol levels and high blood pressure. Yeah, I mean, this New World Order doom stuff, you know, I try, I'm really working hard. You know, I was obviously knocked down by the news about Ireland today, but I've certainly made my case for free speech over the years and so on. So what can I do? I can't fix it. And that which I cannot fix, I am working to ignore. Owen Benjamin says, oh yeah, Owen Benjamin does say a lot of things. The man has a nice view in his home, it seems that. Right? Every week is civil war on Timcast, too much doom porn. Yeah, so overwhelming yourself with doom that you can't escape is another form of paralysis. It's another way to lower your testosterone. It's another way to just neuter you, right? So yeah, try just work on the things that you can control. All right, let's see here. It's interesting how of the Ten Commandments, only the honor thy father and the mother is written in a consequentious way, followed by so that you may live long. All right. So as somebody says, reminds me of the book Origins of War and Child Abuse, which you can get at freedomain.com/books, and the widespread infanticide described there. Right. Honor thy mother and thy father so that you may live long. So the reason why that's powerful is that's the trauma meme. That's the trauma mindset. Well, if your mother and your father beat you, and then you honor thy mother and your father, then I, as a trauma ghost, get to live forever because I get to hop, skip, and jump down the generations. So there's usually a kind of truth in that, and that would be like the demon saying, well, traumatic kids are way easier to possess. Traumatized kids are way easier to possess. So you should absolutely obey your parents, and you should honor them so that you also abuse your children, and then I can possess them that much more easily as well. And again, it's not hate for the children, it's just hate for a God and Jesus and virtue. So yeah, that's so that you may live long, that's for the trauma demon to jump down the generations, I would assume. All right. I hate to stop when people are typing. So stop typing now. I hate to stop when people are typing. So because I think it's kind of rude. So, Steph, is it possible to retrieve a call you and I did in January 2020? Want to be able to download when you sent it to me back then? January 2020. Probably did a bunch of calls. If you can give me a date, just send it to me on Skype. I'll have a look. My three-year-old girl is a joy to watch, and I want to remember every moment. She's so smart and loves life. Thank you, Steph. Oh, yeah, my daughter is like just a true fountain of fun and positivity and affection and trolling, and it's wonderful, and she is so popular. It's a beautiful thing. Of course she is, right? Of course she is. She's absolutely wonderful. So, all right. And, of course, if the typing is just thanks for a great show, I appreciate that too, and thank you guys so much for dropping by tonight. And if you're listening to this later, of course, don't let everyone else keep the show afloat. Don't let everyone else keep the show afloat. The travel ban to America is lifted, which means that it looks like I am back on the wagon for documentaries, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Civil War in America. Hopefully it will be a historical documentary, not a contemporary documentary. And who knows, maybe I'll be able to stop off one place or two and do a speech or two, because by God, do I ever miss meeting you guys in person. It was just such a thrill and all of that. Steph, how did you meet that rich girl that spent so much money in the restaurant? Oh, well, you see, I was a nightclub guy. I was a dance boy, B-O-I. Yes, 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 I would go to discos probably from the age of 16 onwards, man. I'd go to discos and I'd just dance all night, man. I'd pay top dollar for a ticket at your speech in USA. Come on over, please. All right, I will look into that. So yeah, I met the rich girl, picked her up at I got her number in a disco. And she was great. She was great, just, you know, obviously a little pampered relative to me. Let's see. Why do some people insist on helping? Am I just cynical, or people like to play power games? For example, moving. Like, four people offered to help, but I politely refused. I paid for movers and I'm happy. I don't know enough as to know why people insist on helping, but maybe they need favors that they expect to gain more out of over time. I couldn't give you that answer. All right. Thank you everyone so much. Don't forget to donate later. If you're listening to this later, freedomain.com/donate. Sign up at freedomain.locals.com. using the promo code all caps UBB2022, and you get an absolutely free month to check it out, and you get all the goodies. My 20-part History of Philosophers series is just fantastic, and people are just raving about it. They think it's some of my best work, so do I, so you should check that out, and I'll get back to that at some point soon as well. But right now, presentations are consuming me. You all wanted more truth abouts, so that's what you're going to get, baby. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful evening. I will talk to you, won't be this Friday, but I will talk to you soon, and I'll keep you posted about when I'm next live streaming. Lots of love. Bye.